This episode of Fermented Adventure, the podcast, features Adele Martinez of Gin de las Californias. With Gin de las Californias, you're drinking two countries and one spirit. You're drinking history and culture. Be sure to reach out to Adele and Gin de las Californias and let them know what you thought about the podcast. This will be our last podcast of 2023, and Dawn and I would like to thank everybody that's been part of our fermented adventure this year. Cheers! Hello, ladies and gentlemen, craft spirit enthusiasts, and those interested in the intoxicating world of craft distilleries, cideries, meaderies, wineries, and the occasional foray into breweries. It's Rich Shane, and welcome to Fermented Adventure, the podcast, where we bring you the fascinating people that are making the mash, fermenting, distilling, bottling, pouring, and delivering to you some of the finest libations in the world. Before we get started, here are a few housekeeping items. Thank you for bringing the podcast into wherever you are and whatever you're doing. We truly are grateful that you have chosen to listen and make us part of your day. It would mean the world to us if you left a 5-star review. This helps us climb in the rankings, and it makes it easier for others to find us. Don't hesitate to leave us your comments as well. If the podcast didn't meet your expectations, tell us why. We're always striving to improve. You can find us at fermentedadventure.com. We are on Instagram and Facebook as Fermented Adventure. Email us at fermentedadventure@gmail.com. All right, FA Nation, let's meet our guests. Steve Adele Martinez. I'm Rich Shane. This is Fermented Adventure, the podcast. Adele, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Rich. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited. Yay. It's going to be a fun one, I think.
Well, we're starting out with Las Californias gin. And what better way to start out the week than with gin and to talk about gin and to talk about how did Las Californias get started?
Yay. It's so exciting. I'm the brand ambassador for Gin de las Californias. We are part of the Casa Lumbre portfolio. Casa Lumbre is a spirits company that has been around for about 10 years. And we are known to, we are the forefront of Mexican innovation. We have a really beautiful portfolio of some products that you may be already familiar with. For example, Ancho Reyes that came from Casa Lumbre, Montelobos Mezcal, Abasolo, Nixta, and now Gin de las Californias, amongst many other incredible products. Our master distiller, Ivan Saldana, he is an incredible human being. He is so talented and so smart. And the project of Las Californias, he wanted to make a product that told the story of both the terroir of the region of Las Californias and also the people and the culture, the migration that happened in the region of Las Californias. But first, I think I gotta get into what Las Californias actually means, right? Las Californias, rather than thinking of it as two different countries, which is Baja and modern day California, we want you guys to start thinking about Las Californias or that entire corridor as a region, because that's kind of what it's always been for a very long time. The region of Las Californias, that line that divides Baja and California are two different countries. It's completely man-made, right? It's completely imaginary. It's particularly when you refer to the terroir, the climate, the resources that we have available along that corridor, and even the culture, that's all shared, right? So we kind of want to step outside of the box of thinking of two separate entities and get you into this mentality of thinking of the region of Las Californias as a single beautiful entity with a bunch of shared resources. Ivan Saldana, like I was saying, our master distiller, genius mind. His dad has extensive background, but his dad actually wrote a book about Las Californias and the history of the entire corridor. So, and him, he's like a plant biologist, right? So he's very nerdy and very like into plant chemistry and distillation and all those incredible, topics. It just made sense that he would end up making a gin of the kind of to pay homage to the region of Las Californias, having so much background and knowledge of what the region is and how it formed and what it is now and what it used to be, and also having this incredible brilliant mind when it comes to distillations. So we have two SKUs that kind of tell the beautiful story of both the land of Las Californias and the people of Las Californias. We are distilled in Mexico, so we are Mexican gin, but we really like to say that we are dual origin because we use botanicals from both Baja and California. So both both countries. So you like to say, you know, two countries, one spirit, or just kind of really still without borders, if you may. So that's kind of like the background of Las Californias is. And both SKUs are so different and tell two different parallel stories. Parallel stories, but very different. And I think you have to try it to know exactly what I'm talking about.
We are going to try. Don't miss out on a chance to try this. I am not going to. What really excites me is the idea is that you can learn history, you can learn culture, but what you've provided here is an opportunity to drink history, to drink culture, to, as you mentioned, the terroir and the botanicals and working through that distillation process to really create that whole novel of that region that you talk about. And you touched on it. All right. Up until a certain point, there was all just land. It was just, this is an area until we started erecting a border and some sort of a delineation between this is the United States and this is Mexico. But you share in that culture. It goes back and forth all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this gin does such a good job at telling those stories, right? And like, I personally identify with this so much. I grew up in Baja, North Baja. So like, I grew up in a border town, you know, my entire life, I was always right there. So to be able to share my culture, and I feel, let me take a step back on that one. I feel like Mexico lately has, because Mexican distillates are so in right now, and it's really exciting, and mezcal and tequila are everybody's favorite, and that's super, super exciting. And I think that has drawn a lot of attention to Mexican culture. However, it only takes you to certain parts of Mexico. It takes you mostly to the south of Mexico, Jalisco, Oaxaca being the most popular states where those distillates come from. Of course, there are many others, but those are the two main ones. So I think that we've, in a way, homogenized Mexican culture. So when we think of Mexico, we only think of those two entities, right? But Mexico is a very, very diverse country. And Baja has its own culture. It's its own entity. And I'm so excited to be behind a product that kind of is sharing that culture with the rest of the world and saying like, yo, like, yeah, that's a beautiful part of Mexico. And it's world famous for a reason. But there's so many other like parts of Mexico that are so different and deserve to be on your map, right? And I think with growing up in Baja, it was a really interesting, really interesting culture, because it feels like, in a weird way, like you're not Mexican enough to be considered part of that Mexico, but you're definitely not American enough because you're still in Mexico. It's this weird, like, where am I from really? What do I identify with the most? So when I moved to the States, I was 15 when I moved to the States. I finished high school in Arizona, and then I moved back to California as soon as I turned 18. It was this thing of like, whoa, which culture do I identify with the most? It was really, you know, of course, Mexico, because I spent the majority of my life there, but, you know, when I understood what people thought of Mexican or Mexico, I didn't really quite fit that bill. So it was a really interesting way to navigate, you know. Eventually, I was really young, so I was like, really unsure like who I was and what I was doing. As you get older, you start, you know, being more confident in your own skin. And I think that this gin, you know, in a weird way, just attracted me so much conceptually, because it kind of gives you permission to do both. It kind of allows you to step outside of that box of like, I have to be this or I have to be that. I have to be Baja or I have to be California. No, you can be both. And historically, it has been one single entity. So like, it inspires you to really come into the space of like, I can do both and that's okay. You know what I mean? So I think that, again, this gin does such a beautiful job to tell you that story. And it does such a beautiful job to highlight this part of Mexico that's very different than the rest. And it's a little bit more, you know, they call it fronterizos, or like, you know, border towns, where like the culture is very like mixed with the northern, you know, your northern neighbor. For example, Dia de los Muertos, right? Beautiful holiday in Mexico, gorgeous, very festive, very colorful. In North Mexico, the majority of the time, we celebrate Halloween, right? Because we're so close to the States, so that kind of became part of the culture. It's like a mix of like Dia de los Muertos and Halloween, but it's mostly Halloween. Down south, for example, in Mexico, Dia de los Reyes Magos, or the Three Wise Men Day, which is January 6th, that's a much more celebrated holiday than for gifting kids presents than Christmas is. Of course, in northern Mexico, Christmas is the day that you celebrate to gift, because it's more of a, you know, cultural mix of like American Christmas and all those little nuances, right, that people are not aware of like that, how Mexico is so diverse and so different depending on what state you are. So again, like I'm so stoked to be part of this gin that kind of honors the, you know, the differences, but also like in a weird way tells you, no, we're not that different. We're actually the same. You know what I mean? So it's really exciting. And I think that the juice itself kind of tells you those stories. One SKU is going to tell you the story of the terroir using all native botanicals. All botanicals are endemic and indigenous to the region of Las Californias. And then you have the SKU that's going to tell a story of migration. It has all botanicals that ended up in the region via migration. So it kind of talks about the melting pot that the region is.
Going back, you spoke a lot about the idea that we identify spirits in Mexico or from Mexico as tequila, mezcal,
right,
sotal, avila, a lot of things that come from, you know, maybe the agave or mm-hmm. plants that are indigenous to Mexico. I honestly don't think gin. I don't think of that. I think of certainly beer. I certainly think of maybe wine, but I don't think gin. So really what you're doing is you're also... And maybe it's the spirits world we're in where sometimes you have to stand out or be different to stand out. But I'm wondering where the history of gin falls in to where we are today. Was there a gin culture? Were there gin distilleries? Or did they focus on what they had in the land, on the land at the time, which is more specifically going back to that agave?
Yeah. And, you know, I love that you bring that up because I think that I couldn't think of a better spirit to represent Las Californias other than gin. Why? Because it's like, for example, you know, as we know, agave, there's like a denomination of origin, right? There's only certain states you can make mezcal, only certain states you can make tequila out of. It's very controlled, you know, to protect the culture or whatever. But gin, there's no DOC for gin, right? You can make gin anywhere in the world. Gin actually has very few, you know, restrictions. Like you have to of course use juniper and like certain ABV, whatever, but like it's very accessible for distillers to make gin. And it just makes sense that Ivan Saldaña would pick gin as the vehicle to tell his story, because it's kind of, yeah, it's the last frontier. It's like, it's the new West, the Wild West. We can do whatever we want. It's like the line of opportunity. So gin to me makes sense. Although, you know, gin, as you know, it's a super old spirit. You know, people were using juniper with booze since like the 11th century, right? So it's like something that has been always present in the spirits world and obviously in cocktail culture. The earliest cocktails are all gin and brandy, right? It's like, it's something that we've been using for a very long time. But yeah, to your point, gin is not something that Mexico is known for. Gin as a category in Mexico is fairly new. There are a lot of projects out there that, there's a lot, actually some cool agave based gins that they have, they're still in their agave spirit. And then as a, you know, second project, they'll, oh, let's make a gin with this, you know, whatever. There are very few distilleries in Mexico that are only making gin. Typically, gin becomes a second project, but just gin brands in general coming out of Mexico, there's not a lot. We're one of the first ones that like are only dedicated to make gin. We're not distilling anything else. It's kind of, you know, not associated with like Mexico, but like why not? You know, yes, we have tequila and it's beautiful, and we have mezcal and it's the best, and sotol, raicilla, bacanora. Absolutely, those are, you know, our gifts to the world, and they're amazing. But like, we can also make whiskey. You know, we can also make vodka. We can also make gin, and we can do a really good job at it. Mexico has incredible rums. Like, why not gin instead of like, oh, and it's interesting you bring that up, because I feel like across the board, my experience has been, you know, hey, you guys want to try this gin, this Mexican gin, whatever. But Mexican gin is the immediate thing that draws people in, the attention of like, oh, I've never heard of a Mexican gin. And I think that the expectation is for it to taste like a tequila, right? But like, it doesn't at all. It tastes like a gin because it is a gin. So it becomes this, let me get you out of the mindset that we can only make tequila. We can also make gin, and we can make rum, and we can make whiskey, and we can make a bunch of other cool stuff. And maybe that sparked your curiosity to explore how much more Mexico has to offer in the spirits world.
Well, that's what I was thinking, because you have two, I'm going to say, wonderful challenges. Number one, many conversations are, oh, gin, I don't like gin, you know, yeah, because of bad gin experiences.
A lot of baggage with gin. Sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of baggage. I mean, I can say for many years, tequila was not a friend of mine. And it just, you know, reminded me every time I would smell it, I need to stay away and I'm over that. So gin comes with that, as you say, baggage, but it also has that mindset of, as you touched upon, Mexican gin from Mexico. So there are those, I would say, wonderful challenges, because already from your enthusiasm, your excitement, your personality, you bring this, you've got to try this. If you're not trying this, you are missing out on a life experience that you would say, wow, I really should have done that. I should have parachuted. I should have, you know, done that bungee jump. Let's try this gin and see if we can help you understand. As you say, we're going to talk about, and I'm really enthused to talk about the story and how you project everything coming from the land where this is being produced. But it's also, all right, we're going to help you with that mindset. We're going to help you say, hey, we can do it all here.
Yeah, no, totally. And you know, like I, you know, obviously when I am speaking to bartenders, they've always loved gin and they're always going to play with gin. But the person who's like, to your point, like who has a baggage, oh, I don't like gin or whatever. And I'm like, why not? And because you're used to this like super, maybe a little bit juniper forward gins, but juniper is not for everybody. Let me give you a little taste of this and try, you know, it's a very approachable gin. So let's try it and try to change your mind and, you know, how to drink it. And people are usually very pleasantly surprised. It's a very, you know, easy to drink gin. So I feel like, oh, I can drink this and it's exciting. And then you kind of don't go into the story and they get even more excited, which is super, super fun. It's my favorite part of my job, getting people excited of behind the story. But yeah, to the initial attraction, the initial like eyebrow raise is like, oh, Mexican gin. I've never heard of a Mexican gin. And, you know, and again, there's not a lot of brands out there that are Mexican gin. But yeah, I think they're up and coming. I see more and more come up every year, which is super exciting. And I think just spirits in general, hailing out of Mexico, are people are finally starting to, oh, not just tequila. They also make everything else and they do a really good job at it, you know?
All right. So we have Nativo.
Nativo, yes.
Nativo and Citrico.
Uh-huh.
Correct. Which one would you like us to, as I always say, I haven't opened these. I haven't tried these. This is our first experience together. I have no idea. So where do you want to take us first?
Let's start with Nativo. I feel like story-wise, it makes the most sense.
Pardon the interruption. Thank you so much for listening to Fermented Adventure, the podcast. Could you do us a favor? Hit that follow button. It makes it easier for others to find us, and it helps us climb in the rankings. Take a screenshot of the podcast, post it, tag us, and let everyone know that you listen to the Fermented Adventure podcast. Now, back to our podcast.
Nativo, it comes at 42% ABV, which is, you know, pretty approachable.
By the way, I love these cork stoppers.
Yeah, they're fun.
First of all, this bottle. So you've got what appears to be a... You've got the gradient, or the bottle has the sunshine in the top, but it also carries down to the label below where it says Gin de las Californias. I don't say it as wonderfully and as beautifully as you do, but this is, if you look at it, and this has been like by a window. So we get to watch the sunshine hit this bottle, and it's just so brilliant the way the sun comes through here. Not that I would recommend people leaving their bottles out in the sun, but talk about even the idea of the
honestly,
design of the bottle.
Does an incredible job with designing their bottles. All of our bottles from the entire line of our portfolio are beautiful and so intentional with like what they're doing. Just from looking at this bottle, you can tell it's a Mexican product, right? It has that folklore like look. It's really good. Like, okay, that's a Mexican product. And it has, you know, alta y baja, baja being baja and alta being modern day California, the coordinates of those places. I mean, the back of the bottle, which is my favorite part, it shows you the map of Las Californias. So like for me saying Las Californias, and for a lot of people that are in this area, or maybe any other border state, that makes sense because they understand what being in a border city means or state. But somebody maybe in the East Coast, from somebody in the Midwest or what, you know, that doesn't really click immediately because that's not where they're from. The map is very helpful. And in the back of the bottle, you can see the map of California and Baja together as a single entity. But yeah, let's get into the tasting. When you first smell it, it's super sage forward, right? It's like sage, it's herbaceous. It's floral, but like a white flower, maybe like a chamomile, maybe like a gardenia. Some sweetness to it. Some like pepperiness, some like maybe like white pepper. So it's very herbaceous. You're like, okay, it's gonna be like a flavor bomb for sure.
There's even this almost this effervescence on the nose. It's probably coming from the, you know, interplay of some different botanicals. This almost, you've got this almost, if I poured this, you can feel the bubbles, but there are no bubbles.
Yeah, like right.
There, and, you know, as you talked about the sage, the citrus, you mentioned gardenia, and that hit me. I'm like, what am I smelling? You mentioned it. I'm like, that's what that is. There's such a sweetness,
yes.
And there's so much of a brightness on the nose. This is just something I would like to make a candle or a car freshener, air freshener out of.
I would wear it as a perfume if Fermina got pulled over and.
I can't wear it as a perfume, but okay, you could.
So
musk in there, you know, something else. I don't know.
There you go.
Now, what I will also point out to those listeners that love gin, that this doesn't come off at all with a nose of juniper. There's no pininess to it. And you really are just enjoying the nose of these botanicals, these citrus, these flowers, these floral notes. It's just a wonderful nose to enjoy.
If
you wanted that, that's just not there. But let's taste it and see where it comes in.
On the palate, to me, it's very bold. Then you get sage, you get Damiana immediately. You get a little bit of sweetness, but it's very rich. There's a lot of minerality. There's kelp in this expression as well. And then at the end, you get a little bit of like bitterness, and that comes from the California hops. So it's like very nuanced, and going back to the juniper not being very juniper forward, the reason why is because we use California juniper in both of our expressions. California juniper, which makes sense if we're trying to do gins from the region of Las Californias, why not use the endemic juniper of the area? California juniper is a lot more floral, a lot more like mild and very sweet compared to common juniper. So it makes for a very, very easy to drink gin, very approachable. It's not very piney like traditional juniper would be.
I almost have to stop and say, because you said something earlier, and mindset wise or expectation wise, wait, this isn't a tequila? It has the juicy notes. And as you pointed out, I've never had, you know, I've never chewed on any California juniper before, but it doesn't have it. There's not a lot of notes there that are forward. But what does come out of this is just it's juicy. It's lovely. It's flavorful. And you take so many left and right turns of flavor here. And I'm thinking to myself, this is unlike any gin. And that's the beauty of craft. This is unlike any gin I've ever experienced, because I think what happens is we get into two lanes. I'm going to create a gin that's going to be just like them, so I can say it's just like that gin, or this gin where you say we have no rules other than the small constructs of being a gin. We're just going to go crazy. We're going to go out there and we're going to pick things and we're going to take things from our region and we're going to put it together. And this is what's going to come out and end up in the bottle. Holy cow. I can't wait to see the craziness, the genius of what's coming out of, say the name of the distiller again, because you say it so fast and I would just screw it up.
All right. It's Ivan Saldana.
Ivan Saldana. This guy's a genius.
He's brilliant.
I almost just want to start fanning him everywhere and become a stalker.
Yeah.
This is creative genius. Thank you, Yvonne. Cheers to you.
Yvonne Saldana is very brilliant when it comes to distillates. And again, like behind our portfolio, he's behind so many beautiful projects. You know, for me, when I first got into Casa Lumbre, like I was already familiar with Ancho Reyes. For me, I call that bartender's ketchup. And I think that's when I was like, oh my God, this is Ivan Saldana's project. Oh, I'm on board, right? Like he not only is very intentional with the products that he makes, but they're also story driven. They're like every single product he puts out is so intentional, so story driven. Then the juice is beautiful. So very excited about that.
What's really enjoyable is there's a viscosity to this that almost allows the flavors to dissipate on your tongue and in your mouth as if you are sucking on a hard candy. And the vehicle and deciding this is going to be exactly where this needs to be, I would say at that viscosity is perfect because it allows me, after sipping, I'm 45 seconds a minute into this.
Right. And you're still
getting so much. You mentioned hops. Wow. That just sits there and I get to play with that. That's so wonderful.
It's super fun. I'll tell you all the botanicals are in here. We have California juniper, which again, very mild, very, very pleasant, very floral. We have California Artemisia, which is similar to wormwood. We have Yerba Santa, which is a very like oily desert plant that's very like licorice-y. We have California hops. We have kelp in here, which adds that minerality, that salinity to the expression. We have white sage, which is super present in this expression, I think. And then we have Damiana. Damiana is a small little yellow flower that grows way down south in Baja by the Sea of Cortez, more or less. And it's a very like, it's a desert flower. So it's very oily. It's very licorice-y, very, very complex in flavor. And kind of, if you haven't had Damiana before, this, you might conflate it with the sage, but it's very similar to sage, but it has a little bit other, you know, tasting notes in there. If you had it before, you pick it up immediately. Like, oh, this has Damiana immediately. It's a very like licorice-y, herbaceous flower.
Yeah, you talked about the wormwood and you talk about the Damiana, and those profiles are very nuanced here. It's, you're not confused. You're just in your mind, you're starting to think, what is that? What am I? Because there's so many other things. You mentioned the kelp, the minerality, the salinity of it. That's there.
Yeah.
But you almost have to stop. And here's what I say. Look, this bottle, you say it's very Mexican, right? I almost picture, I'm almost romancing this. You know, let's go back to the 1800 where I stick this bottle. It's got the piece of cork. It's in my saddlebag. Every once in a while, I take a swig. But it's the journey. It's the changing landscape, and that's what this gin is. It's the changing landscape that you're going to taste in this bottle that you go from place to place to place, and you get to that. I mean, when you say terroir, I mean, to me, what you're doing is you're picking from here, you're picking from here, and this is the whole experience you're going to have. And this is just one. I'm blown away. I really am.
It's a super fun expression. I love it so much. And what I like that you said the change of landscape, because to me, this tastes like a road trip in a bottle. To me, it tastes like taking a road trip from Northern California all the way down to the Sea of Cortez. Like, you go from the redwood forest, right? You go to the Pacific Ocean, you go to the high desert, you go all the way down to the Sea of Cortez with the Damiana. So to me, it really does taste like a road trip, like a Las California's road trip from the northern tip all the way down. Another cool thing about this, like with the California juniper is endemic from Valle de Ojos Negros, which is about 2 hours south of San Diego, all the way up to Hollywood. That's where it originates from. So the fact that the juniper crosses that border, to me, is so symbolic of what this gin is, right? Because like we like to say that the juniper crosses this border, so does our gin. So it really does take you up and down the entire corridor of Las Californias.
I just had to pick up this next bottle and try this next bottle. I feel like I can't wait to see what the AAA roadmap is going to show me on the next expression. One question I have, though, is because, I love this because it almost sips on its own like a cocktail. This is something. But you stop and say, are there things or are there flavors that you can pull out of here? Are there cocktails that you've seen some of these bartenders making with this that does not hide the character and personality of the gin, but expands on the flavor by making a cocktail out of it?
I think that, so it's funny. I do understand the baggage or the taboo behind drinking gin neat. You know what I mean? Like, I understand that's not like really a thing, but I personally like do grab this and drink it like neat, kind of you would an agave spirit. Just, I enjoy it so much. Maybe a rock and a lemon twist would be great with this. But, you know, again, it's just me. I understand that's not really the way people like to approach gin. But this one, I've seen it a lot in spirit flavored cocktails. So your martinis, your Negronis. But I think that a martini is such a great vehicle for this expression because a little bit of vermouth, maybe some bitters, and that's it. You don't really need to dress it up so much because it's so layered and it's so nuanced that it's kind of like a cocktail on its own. So I would, and I mean, it also makes a fantastic gin and tonic, like a phenomenal gin and tonic. For me, I really do love it in a martini. It's so good in a martini.
You know, I'm shaking my head. Not to me, I'm not being disagreeable, but in my head, I'm kind of going through that library of what I would like to see added to this with flavor and make a cocktail. Your martini, right on. Little bit of an Amaro, an aperitivo, something just to create some bitterness. I'm almost thinking, look, you just want to do a little bit of soda and maybe a piece of citrus and or a peel of citrus, and that's it. Because this is yelling. This is, hey, I am the lead in this cocktail. Don't make me the, you know, the co-star.
Right.
I don't want to be oversweetened with tonic and quinine and all those things that are just going to say, where did that gin go? Why did I just buy this bottle if I'm just going to hide the rest of the flavor in there?
Totally.
Yeah, and you don't want to do that.
But like our favorite martini that we use for this one, it's just like a little bit like literally half an ounce of lo-fi dry vermouth, which is a vermouth that's made all with California botanicals. I pair really well with this. A little bit of black lemon bitters, and that's it. Like, that's it. And it's a fantastic, fantastic martini. But again, like, I don't like to dress it up as much because it's such a nuanced, you know, expression that it kind of shines on its own. But if I had to put it in a cocktail, you know, I would do a martini. I've seen a lot of really cool Negronis too, and they're really fun and exciting. But martini is the way to go, in my opinion.
All I'm going to do is I'm going to take a little bit of more of the personality of Mexico, and I might want to take just an eyedropper of mezcal just to add some smokiness to this and some of the juiciness of that to this. And then I'm just going to leave it alone. And that's the only thing I might, the Negroni, I hear you, but then I'm starting to add some different things. And if this already has that anise licorice component, maybe the Negroni is just going to amplify that more. I'll have to try it and see how it comes out.
I mean, I think it depends on like what bittering agent you use. I feel like Campari can be a little bit too powerful for this because it's a very delicate expression. Maybe a different, bitter component would be softer, would do really good in a Negroni with this one. But I actually have seen it in the more, you know, exciting craft beer cocktails that I've seen it split base with mezcal and it does so good. And I've seen it split base with Sotol and it's really fun too. Although the Sotol is a little bit like, you know, very aggressive, very bold flavor, you know, tasting notes. But when they do it just right, it's a really beautiful combination.
All right. I moved on. I got off on the next exit on our little journey through the region. And this Citrico?
Uh-huh, Citrico. You got it.
I almost get this experience of having like an orange cello.
Yeah.
There's so much orange in here.
This is such a citrus bomb.
It like really is.
Citrus gin, like this is a citrus gin. It's so citrusy. There's four types of citrus in here. It's also going to be very juicy, very bright, very playful. It's almost like the yin and yang. Nativo is mineral, herbaceous, and just very forest, very green. So then Citrico is going to be bright, juicy, playful. There's four types of citrus in here. There's lemongrass, there's figs, there's apricots. There's also grapevine leaf, and I'm missing one. California juniper, of course, and almonds. That's what I was saying. Almonds.
Almonds.
So, yeah, there's almonds in there. So it gets, I feel like to, you know, balance that brightness and give a little bit of weight and body, it has to have some protein, some fattiness in there. And that comes from the almonds.
So what's, these almost are, I mean, they're two different expressions, but they're almost like two different gins. It's
100%.
Right. I mean, sometimes people, what they'll do is they'll take their base gin and they'll say, all right, I'm going to steep or I'm going to add, you know, and distill in with these other flavors. But these are almost, they're two individual gins.
Oh yeah.
There's no base from the Nativo.
Yeah, no. And I think they're for two different types of drinkers too, entirely. They're very different in flavor profiles. But I always say they're almost like yin and yang opposite, you know, the kind of herbaceous, mineral, bright, juicy, playful. And I think that is to reflect the stories behind them. Although same region, you know, same idea with Citrico, these botanicals all came through to this region via migration. So this is trying to really pay homage to the story of the people of Las Californias. And, you know, people from all over the world, not only like from the state east coming west, you know, with the gold rush, a homestead, the Wild West, all that stuff. Similar things happened in Mexico, but like just people from all over the world came and kind of settled and rooted and thrived. For example, where I'm from, Mexicali in Baja California, there's a huge Chinese population. So I grew up eating Chinese food, which when people tell me, oh, you grew up in Mexico, I'm like eating Chinese food, that doesn't make sense to them. But like it's you know, they have a huge Chinese population. In LA, for example, it's like the biggest population of Korean people outside of Korea, huge Armenian population as well. Here in San Diego, we have huge Vietnamese population. So just kind of talking about all these different cultures that came west and rooted here. And obviously with that, they brought their culture, they brought their foods. And a lot of these botanicals ended up thriving in this region because of our super mild climate. And now they feel very much part of the culture of Las Californias. I always argue that California has the best citrus, but you know, it's not endemic from California. We're the biggest exporter of almonds. Almonds are not from here. They're from the Mediterranean, I believe. Grapevine leaves, like wine came here through the missions to the Spanish, right? And now we have two very prominent wine regions, Napa Valley and others in California. And then we have Valle de Guadalupe here in Baja. So just kind of like these botanicals that feel very much ours actually came here via migration and all the different cultures and the melting pot. So this gin is meant to pay homage to the colorful, you know, culture that is the region of Las Californias. And I think that that is reflected in how playful, approachable, juicy, fruity this expression is.
This one expression, the Citrico, almost tastes like a dry gin. It has those characteristics of a dry gin. So again, those gin drinkers that are looking for that, that has that component to it. But the citrus, the lemongrass, everything there, the oils really sit with you.
Yeah.
Two wonderful. I really, listening to how you explain the differences, not only from what's in the bottle, but how you pay tribute to, hey, this is the migratory understanding, and this is the terroir. This is what we've taken from the land, and this is what we've taken from the culture of the people, and have distilled it into this conversation. And what I get is, I'm thinking about as you're speaking to all that you did with the Citrico and the different cultures now. I mean, you talk about, you know, the Chinese and Chinese food. Well, you know, through the gold rush and through the building, that's where, you know, it was built on the back of those Chinese laborers. Right. And when you talk about those other farms and or other like almonds, I'm still trying to find the almonds in here. But I think what the almonds do is they add a creaminess or a little bit of texture to this.
Yeah, like a little weight. I feel like that much brightness, that much juice requires a little bit of like backbone. And I think the almonds provide that because it does have like some weight to it, some viscosity, if you may.
Right. And like people, we all bring our skills and abilities to the table. And that's what those cultures are doing by introducing those to our society. And then those best of the best stand out. And that's what you put in this bottle.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's such a, you know, beautiful way to pay homage to it is a melting pot. It's full of different cultures that now feel like as a single entity as it should be, you know? So super exciting and also very, very mild, very approachable. So for that person, I think when I encounter that person who, oh, I don't like gin, or I had gin when I stole my parents' bottle from the cabin and never again type thing, I start them off with this and like, oh, yeah, I can drink this because it's so approachable. It's so juicy. It's you know, like, okay, this is not what I was thinking when I was thinking of gin. The juniper, of course, is present. It is a gin, but it's not overpowering in any way, shape, or form. Again, four types of citrus. There's Meyer lemon, Persian lime, sweet orange, and grapefruit. And they're so like present in the expression.
I think when you talk about those citrus components to it, it's not necessarily the juice, the pulp. It's almost the rind, the oiliness, some of the bitterness, but some of the huge brightness and flavor that you get from that. Just wonderful. This is, thank you. I mean, again, to me, it's hard to say what a cocktail would be with this Citrico because I don't want to overwhelm what's in this either.
This one, I see it a lot in gin and tonics, which makes sense to me, you know, because we always reach for a citrus and express it in our gin and tonic. So a gin and tonic for me makes sense. But I see it a lot in like shaken cocktails. So like your gimlet variations. I also seen a lot in tiki, which I think is really fun. Tiki, you know, I think, and I don't know if it's because of the almonds, which is the brightness of the citrus in this, that kind of makes people reach for the passion fruit and the coconut cream with this one. So that's super fun. But I mean, I've also seen very creative martinis with this, because when I think martini, I think dry. So this doesn't make sense to me in a martini, like a dry martini, like I would take them, but I've seen really creative ways. I had a really beautiful one with Dolin Blanc and a little bit of yellow chartreuse, and it was so delightful. And I'm like, oh wow, this is delicious, you know. But yeah, it's I would say that this is the friendliest to play with when I give it to bartenders or whatever, their wheels are turning, and this is the one that they get the most creative towards. And I think it's because it's so fruity and so juicy that they start thinking about a bunch of different fruits they can play with this one versus Nativo. It's so like, you don't really want to do anything to it. You just want to have it. So they go martini and very simple, which makes sense to me. Yeah, that's what I would do too.
I'm thinking berries, some way to add a berry component to this that can go well with that citrus, that gin component, the juniper. The wonderful thing is they're very simple. They're very complex as well, but they can do well together. And I can see where the Citrico would create a lot for those bartenders to want to say, look, first of all, I always like the idea, if looking at what's available on the bar, what is different? What stands out? What haven't I had before? What can I experience that I've never experienced before? And these are one of those things that you can look for these bottles and ask for them and say, if you don't have them, go get them, because this gives you so much more of, you know, hey, I know you work with oils, but have you tried sculpture, right? So let's try something different behind the bar. How do people find this, Adele? I mean, where are you distributing to? How do people get a hold of these bottles?
So lucky for us, we have pretty wide distribution. I think the biggest conglomerate, I can think the easiest one is Total Wine. We are in all of the Total Wines, which is really exciting. But yeah, we're distributed through Southern Wine Glaciers, so pretty easy to get for your bar. But yeah, you can always go to lascaliforniasgin.com and you know, they'll tell you, you can type in your zip code and they'll tell you where you can access it. You can also follow them on Instagram at lascaliforniasgin. And you can always find, depending on where you're at, you know, find where you can get yourself some bottles. And they're honestly pretty approachable in price. I believe retail, they go around like $30, I think. So they're pretty, pretty accessible.
Wait, did you see my face? $30?
Yeah. So they're pretty accessible. So they're not, you know, they're not out of the question. And, you know, if you're thinking of like a single, okay, what, that's another reason to have this. Like, have you had Mexican gin before? Grab yourself a bottle of Mexican. I bet you don't have a Mexican gin in your palm bar or in your back bar. So maybe
I do.
Now you do. Maybe you can start with that and then, you know, and then make the judgment.
All right, Adele, I love your two favorite children here. are there more on the way?
So not yet, but it's definitely not out of the question. Again, you know, Casa Lumbre is on the forefront of innovation. So I'm sure there's, and you know, if you ever get to meet Ivan Saldana, there's always so many ideas floating in his head that I don't think that's out of the question. He has so many projects in the brilliant mind of his. But as of right now, we don't have anything yet. Not that I know of. Maybe they're withholding information, but not yet.
Like I said, with the brilliance of these two expressions, I can only imagine what might be kind of swirling around Ivan's head and where he could take this. You know, hi, maybe it ends up in a bottle. I mean, in a barrel, and then it ends up in a bottle. I mean, you know, a barrel that maybe held an añejo, reposado.
Something fun like that. And that's about gin too, like possibly really with gin, the world is your oyster. Like you can do so much with it that, you know, creative doesn't have a big cap with creativeness. You can get as creative as you want. So, which is really exciting for the category for sure.
All right. And I take dibs if it's not been thought of and now you're scouring for barrels.
I just have this great idea, Ivan.
I know, right? I just want part of the, I don't want the whole barrel. Just one bottle will be fine. Then I can say I have this from, you know, a Mexican gin.
I got you.
Adele, this has been wonderful. You are just What you brought to us today has been so just incredible. Is there anything we haven't spoken about today on the podcast? Anything you want to share about you or our listeners?
Just keep an eye out for us. I think, you know, we're a fairly new brand. We've only been around for like 18 months since launch. So keep an eye out for us. We'll definitely, you'll see us in the big events like Toast of the Cocktail. We definitely have a presence in New York Food and Wine Festival, Sobe Food and Wine Festival. Keep an eye, Mexico in a Bottle is another one for us. So keep an eye out for that, for us in that. And hopefully you'll see us in your local bar soon enough. So yeah.
So I'm really curious, as a gin drinker or as a spirits consumer, when did gin come on your radar? And A, did you like it at first? And B, you know, is this one of your, you know, go-tos now? Not just the Gin de las Californias, but, you know, are you a gin connoisseur or a consumer?
So I get excited with gins now that I have a deeper understanding of like how creative you can get. I get really excited when I see gins that are doing something weird. And I'm like, oh, I want to try that. I want to know what that's like, you know? So definitely I always gravitate towards gin, but my gin journey started long time. I come from a bartending background, and my mentor, he was very classic cocktail bartender, like very, like, you got to load the classics first, do the classics and do them well before you get too crazy with your foams and your infusions. We want to get the basics really well. That was his mentality. That's how I got polished in the bartending and in my bartending career. And all the classics are gin. Like the majority of classics are either gin or brandy. So that's kind of how I got into gin. And then of course, Reviver has always been my favorite cocktail of all times. So I always really loved gin. And then, you know, as I got really into Mexican distillates, really gravitated towards agave because that just made sense, you know, being from Mexico. But then this, like, eventually it was kind of the watershed moment, right? I've always loved gin and I always loved Mexican distillates. And then this opportunity came to work for a Mexican gin. I was like, duh, from Baja? Say less. Are you kidding? Like, wow. Like, I feel like I invented this. You know what I mean? Like, it just made so much sense for me.
You know, you mentioned the Corpse Survivor, which is one of the cocktails I love. But then I was thinking, all right, this Nativo, make a bee's knees out of it. And I think that honey would be a wonderful contribution to this particular spirit. I really do.
Yes. A bee's knees is great with this one, especially because the herbaceousness of this expression adds a lot of complexity to, you know, an otherwise kind of sweeter cocktail. I think it does great in a bee's knees.
Adele Martinez. Gin de los Californias, because you taught me how to say it the way you say it. And I like that better than the way I say it. Thank you for being a friend of Fermented Adventure. We can't wait to see your tales coming up in 2024. And we never know where our paths are going to cross. Thank you so much for your time today. Again, I'm just going to just sit here the rest of the day and just enjoy this gin. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you and your time. This is great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Cheers.
Cheers.